A smashing start to the show, Connor.
You could say that.
Me smashing a beer was a great little start on the way down.
Smash. It fell out your smash and pass. Six pack.
That's right.
So this sexy six pack, not the actual right beer six pack.
Yeah, one of my abs just fell out and smashed.
Are we going back to old roots of the show where we would smash beers, not literally, like you. That was no pun intended.
Gotcha.
We actually just drank beers like every show.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if every show, but more often.
More often.
Yeah. We definitely bounce a lot more, I think. I was listening to a Deep Breath Review the other day and I was like, oh, we have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Like, and I only had like a couple of beers, but it's just that loosen you up, you know, getting the muscles.
Well, now we're past 100, which is every episode together, man.
Yeah,
until COVID strikes one of us dead.
So every episode's a celebration.
So yeah, but now it's you know, obviously it was easier through Zoom to just crack a beer because
you're at home,
in your own space.
Why not?
I had to figure out how to get home. So
true.
Afterwards, which is like, you know, you can't just hop in a car and drive. But I have driven here quite a lot sober. Mm-hmm. So now this is a new thing, I guess. Just like smashing the beers. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I can't even tell.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
We will find out.
I feel like my mic is not where it should be. There you go.
There you go. Well, at the start of the show, before I forget, because I keep forgetting that it exists, and I don't know why, because it's awesome. Doctor Who Redacted is the brand new... I think it comes under, like, podcast, but it's an audio drama.
Can you explain to me what the hell this is? Because I literally have no idea.
So it's on BBC Sounds. So you got to download the BBC Sounds app.
Okay.
There, if you would like to do so, like me, I drive around Australia sometimes, and I'm like, wonder what BBC One Morning Breakfast is going on, and I put it on there.
Oh, you can do that.
And they're like, hey, what's up? It's 5 a.m. over here,
Charlie,
and I'm like,
Sloth.
Wait, it's 1 p.m. here. And they're all like, yeah. It's going to be raining up in the north. It's going to be sunny down at Donda. What is it? What am I trying to say? Dorma? Denver? Not Denver. No. The one near Dunsborough. The seaside. Dunsborough.
That's by the seaside.
The one like when you go, if you go to France and you get on a boat. What's that?
Dunkirk.
No, it's not Dunkirk. But like... Our 50% of our audio
are from France.
Nope. 50% of our listener base is the UK, according to the stats.
Yes.
So,
British show.
50% of the 50% podcast listeners right now are screaming at us.
Hello.
Being like, it's fucking. Is it Denver?
New episode
I gotta find
of 50%
out.
Today.
Denver. Is that
Denver?
Is that where's Denver?
The Denver Broncos.
Denver
in France?
Doma? Don't know.
Matt needs to watch City of Death again.
No, it's in the UK. It's like if you get on a boat from the UK to go to France, there's like a main specific
between
suburb.
France and the UK?
No, it's not like a island. It's you know, you go to Hillary's, get on a boat to go to Rottnest.
Yeah, Rottnest, yeah.
Like, it's like the Hillary's of England.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
I don't know. But that's going to drive me insane. I've literally been there. Oh, my God.
You've been there yourself, personally?
I have.
Okay.
I caught a boat from there to get to France. So...
Wow.
What is it called? It does start with a D. It's got to.
These nuts.
Okay, let's move on. This is... Redacted.
Yeah.
So, it's basically an audio drama, right? But it's actually made by the BBC. It's not Big Finish. Like, technically, this should probably be classified as canon. You know how Big Finish, it's always kind of like, you never know what's canon and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
This, it's a proper BBC thing. So I feel like maybe it is. It's got a little bit more legs behind it. What is awesome about it is that it is about three women. And they're just like trying to solve this mystery of basically the Doctor has vanished. But... without a trace, in terms of the name Doctor. Everyone's forgotten about the Doctor. No, everyone that's met the Doctor has forgotten the Doctor. Very few people remember, i.e. the Doctor's companions.
That's pretty cool.
And those companions are being like hunted down and stuff. It has a great cast. One of them is a trans woman. So it's very good for that community to finally sort of get embraced in Doctor Who a lot more. And I believe... Juno Dawson, I think is
rings a bell,
a name.
Yeah.
who wrote the whole thing. And I believe it's not the Doctor Who side of it, but the character journey of those characters maybe rings quite true because of who it's being written by.
Okay.
Only two of the episodes are out so far. They're 20 minutes long. They're so easily digestible.
Okay.
And it's full of all sorts of little nuggets. It feels so connected. It's not really a spoiler. It's like a cool little cameo, I guess. But you even have little things like, I think Penny Carter is her name, the journalist from Partners in Crime, that gets like tied up.
It's
played by a different actress, but it's the same character, and she's there telling her story of what happened because no one's believed her, and she's like, there was this person called the Doctor, but cool. I don't remember. It's all about that. Rani's in it. It's mad. Like Sarah Jane Rani.
Wow. Yeah. So this is odd to me because like when it got announced, I couldn't really wrap my head around what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest thing that kind of confused me was why it just wasn't a Big Finish story. Was there a reason why Jodie didn't go to Big Finish?
Well, Jodie's like hardly in it. She's had like two lines so far.
Oh, she's not really in it at all.
No. Oh, okay. It's
like a side adventure of companions.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So she's not. Okay.
Yeah. But.
Right. I thought it was a Doctor audio adventure.
No.
Right.
Okay. I'm sure she'll come into it a little bit more.
I'm keen. But I mean, like, I don't really. You know, I've struggled with Big Finish in the past. I haven't even checked out the Eccleston stuff. So. But I've heard this is really. From everyone that I talk to and on Twitter, I've heard that it's really good.
Dover? Dover a fucking to dozer. Calais.
Dover.
Or you can go Dover to Dunkirk if you would like.
There you go. It was close.
But Dover is the place I was talking about.
So you can connect to British radio stations?
Through the BBC Sounds app, yeah.
Crazy.
Like, just through Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they need to do something like that in the US, definitely.
I would have very little interest.
No, just because of Sirius FM with, like, Howard Stern stuff, I would be seriously interested in that. But... Yeah. God, why do you hate my interest, bro, so much? You hate
just Howard Stern. I just don't know who he is, and I just
the king of the king of up. King of radio, definitely okay. Inspiration of mine.
Okay,
but yeah, notoriously they haven't done that with Sirius. But anyway, VPNs exist. But yeah, that's cool. So you can listen to Charlie Sloth in the morning.
Sure,
Charlie Sloth.
But like
he's a DJ your morning, in England. I don't know if he still rocks the deck, but
your morning is like midnight there. Mm. So probably like Club Bangers. You'll be driving to work and it'll be like...
Well, Club Bangers. Well, the only thing I listen to every week is H3. And when I wake up, they're pretty much in the last hour of their live show. So normally by the time it hits Spotify, it's about 2 hours since they recorded. So that's like literally... If I'm going to listen to something, I listen to that. But I'm happy to get something else as well.
Mm.
But... I need to know it's worth my bloody time, Aiden. Is it worth my time?
What, Redacted?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, it is. It's okay. 20 minutes. It's a lot of fun. It's so I much fun. I bet
it is.
It's
really I've funny. Heard that before.
The script is so funny. It's very... they have... Like a... It sounds dumber than it is. It starts with like a podcast. It's Doctor Who,
man.
And like they
we're
doing
an episode where they go inside Dalek. There's nothing you can tell me that's going to make me...
These
change my mind.
Three characters are like investigating the Blue Box. That's how it all starts and how they get involved in it. Mm-hmm. Like they have a podcast called like the Blue Box
Isn't podcast. That a podcast?
Yeah, there is like the Big Blue Box podcast. It's a slightly different name. Yeah, Blue Box Files or something. Yeah. And so they just tell different stories. You know how there's like true crime podcasts where every episode they talk about a new crime? They
yeah.
do that, but every episode they talk about like a new possible sighting of a Blue Box and they talk about
I see. Okay, not. Look, it sounds fun.
And it's really I feel like that sounds cringe as fuck. But if you actually listen
really?
To it, that chemistry cool. is so fun and it feels like a proper podcast. It doesn't feel scripted. It feels like people having a laugh.
Okay.
And they're really, really funny characters.
Okay, look, it sounds really good. And do it, I'm Connor. I'm always for stuff like this. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think Big Finish has never really tickled my fancy much. Well, I kind of like this idea of it being outside of that. Nick Briggs.
I've not lost interest in Big Finish, but for me, they all time kind you of were the just same.
Like, you were like, Big Finish, let's go. Unit, well, that's unit the thing. Adventures.
So it's kind of like Marvel Mania, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Marvel, they first started out, you know, like 15 years ago or whatever, whenever the MCU started now, like 2008.
Long time ago.
And those movies each kind of had a different bit of character, right? Like, they weren't all the same feel. And listening to a lot of old B-finishes, that's kind of the same feel, where it's like the different stories, different tones. Whereas now, Big Finish is kind of like Marvel, where you're putting all these different mixes of characters together all the time.
Right.
They all sound the same. They all have like a big action sequence, and then it will go and then you go to the next scene, and it's like they all flow the same. They all have a very similar structure, and they just all sound the same. What I like about Redacted is it's like a new player has come into the audio drama thing, and they're like, okay, we're going to do it differently.
That's
it,
what I think I like the sound of.
Whilst it, you know, it's still an audio drama, so there's elements of it that are similar, it does very much feel like a totally different thing rather than the people that have been running Big Finish for the last like 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And that very much is all them kind of sounding the same and all their voices.
I think I'm not saying it is competition in the sense of that word, but I do think competition is always good. Like, I think if this maybe gets Big Finish a bit of a kick up the ass to maybe get some new people, i.e. me, invested in possibly buying one of their box sets, and that's great. I know people who love it, so, and that's most people I've heard really like this stuff, but I've heard a few people say, like, I wish this kind of writing was done for Jodie Zero, which literally only has one episode left now, so that's that's dead and gone.
I feel like it would be awesome if this was a proper, like, live-action spin-off, because it's...
Okay.
It's
fuck you, Aiden. I need to say you're gonna bring this up, and I was like, "There's no way Aiden's gonna convince me to watch this."
The easiest thing I can say is they're literally 20 minutes long.
Okay, yeah.
Like, they're digestible.
Right. Yeah. Look, I got a big drive on Wednesday. I'll annoy my girlfriend. I'll turn it on.
Yeah. There you go.
I'll be like, I know this character.
They're good fun. She might enjoy it.
Maybe. But yeah, I'm always a bit, you know, funny with all those kind of audio dramas, but
you don't trust them.
No, I don't trust like that, you know?
Why don't you trust him?
But I don't know. I should. Mm. And I will. Okay, all right. I will. I think I've said this before, so everyone can call me out. I
will listen to the Christopher Eccleston box sets.
Yeah, you remember me saying that?
Yeah, I do, many times.
Hasn't happened. Nothing's really enticed me to do it. And I even heard they're not even that great, so...
No, they're not. There's good episodes. I haven't bought the latest box set.
Yeah, it's a new... Is it called series or something like that?
The first series was...
There's a new one coming out this year, I think, as well.
Yes, that'll be series two. So the first series was four box sets. Okay. So those four will come out. I didn't get the last one. I might do eventually, but I've just kind of dipped out of Big Finish. I'm slowly chipping through a unit box set, but
when it's audio, it's not like sitting down watching something on TV. It's just like I always find it hard to find when I'd listen to audio.
Almost. Yeah, that's the thing. You've got to be paying attention.
And I hate that. That's our phones ruining our minds. I feel like where you have to constantly be paying attention to something.
Well, it's just like listening to a podcast, though.
It is, but if I'm gonna be... Yeah, look, that's a good point. But I feel like at work, Aiden hates all my idols, so I'll make this short. But I just listen to H3 at work, because there's like three episodes a week. They're like sometimes 3.5 hours. Like, I got to get through them. I listen to every episode this year. I plan to get through the whole year, listen to every episode that they drop. I'm a dedicated fan, okay? So, like I said... If it's gonna be worth my time, you know. I tried spare minutes. Parts. I like spare parts.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think I listened to Redacted. Is that what it's called?
Redacted. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think redact my statement on saying I won't listen to it
without listening to Howard Stern. Like, I know nothing about the guy. All my rude derogatory comment. I don't think I've ever said anything bad, but I just cut you off.
Whenever you talk about Howard
Stern. That aside, I think it is good to try and listen to a couple of different podcasts here and there, just because that way you hear like what works and what doesn't in what you like to...
H3 I listen to every week. Howard Stern I can't listen to.
Oh, isn't Howard... Oh, right, no, sorry.
Ethan Klein runs
H3. I get you.
Howard Stern is an American like radio host on Sirius FM. That's why I said about the... Is it okay?
Don't worry. And now that's what I call comedy podcast replied to a tweet.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I agree though. And to be honest though, I listen to that and I listen to this show because maybe a little bit vain and also maybe a little bit wanting to improve the show.
I love my opinions about Doctor Who.
Yeah, well, I want to improve the show as well.
Speaking of opinions of Doctor Who,
we're the best podcast.
Should we give some opinions of Doctor Who?
50% podcast.
Was that a good segue or a bad segue?
Yeah, yeah. I forgot for a second that we were even reviewing an episode of Doctor Who.
So did I. I was just too busy talking about Redacted, talking about podcasts.
I'll watch it.
Listen. You'll listen to it.
I will listen to it.
By next week, your homework, other than watching the next episode of Who, is to listen to episode 1 of Redacted.
I can probably fit both in.
It's literally 20 minutes long.
By that time, they'll probably be free.
You can have a shit.
So that'll be 60 minutes.
Oh, right.
They will be free probably by
then. Yeah,
I can't
yeah.
just stop it at 2. I've got to go to 3.
Got to go all the way, baby. All right, I'll do it. Yeah, good. Commit or get out. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Today, kind of briefly mentioned earlier, we are talking about Into the Dalek, which is the second episode of the 8th series of the British science fiction television program, Doctor Who. It was written by Phil Ford and Stephen Moffat and directed by Ben Wheatley, broadcast on the 30th of August 2014. In the episode, Peter Capaldi as the 12th Doctor and Clara Oswald enter the body of a damaged Dalek captured by rebels to determine what is making the usually hate-filled creature good.
Nice inverted commas there.
Well, it's got it on the Wikipedia page. Good, okay. I don't know why it had to be in commas. You could have just said... You didn't need to put good in commas.
Right.
But
they're like, you get the idea.
Or quotation marks, rather. Yeah, so Ben Wheatley back to direct, who directed Deep Breath. And we both
such
said
a lovely
a
presence.
Yeah, great job with this again.
Oh, man, yeah. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
They have such a distinct feel, Deep Breath and Into Dark. They really do.
Really?
There's such great stuff.
Dark,
in this.
But not like they're trying too hard.
I love it. I think it's great. I really do.
Great tones.
He never came back, did he?
No, that's him.
He's one of those directors that I would love to see pop back up, like a Yorgos Lynn or a... Sorry, did I say Yorgos Lynn wrong again? Yorgos Lynn, how you're supposed to say it.
Yeah, I don't know. We've been corrected, apparently,
the
entire way through the RTD era, we said Yorgos Lynn wrong.
Yeah, but...
Yorgos Lynn.
I'm sorry, Yorgos.
I'm sorry, Ruru.
You know, something like that, though, that would have been awesome.
It would be awesome.
It's weird, like... Well, even Jay's era had... Yeah, what's his name? He came back. It's Jamie Mangan Stone.
Yeah, he's a great director, yeah.
And he's really good. It's I like how her era had something like that, but Matt's and Pete's
Nobody.
Have directors just popping in and out. They're
Pete
like, I'm here, I'm done.
Pete at least got Telele.
Okay, true, Rachel, sorry.
But other than that...
I eat my words.
No
he got
consistency.
Rachel, actually. Yeah, but Matt got no one.
Matt got no consistency in directors.
No one.
And then, like... because you get Russell, who has, like... You know, there's the two main directors, Yorgos Lynn and Graham Harper. But then you also have James Strong, who pops up fairly frequently.
Yeah.
Like a few other ones that do pop up like once a season, or maybe they'll do a few episodes one season, then come back a couple of seasons later and do a couple episodes. Mm-hmm. Whereas Smith's seasons were just like, just each director did like two episodes. I think there was like a couple that, there was one guy that did like Impossible Astronaut, Day of the Moon. A Christmas Carol and Pandora Opens Big Bang.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that backwards, but...
Nah, that's all right. I got your drift. I know. It's like, even stuff like, remember we were saying like Time of Angels, Flesh and Stone was so well directed, like these two episodes, and then never came back again.
Never.
And it's like this. It's like, yeah, there's some really great stuff in here. So.
You know what this episode's kind of like?
What?
It's like an episode of The Magic School Bus.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you know, they go on
a
little...
I used to read those books as a kid.
Did you? You didn't watch the cartoon? The anime?
Nah, not much. No. I'm into the books, man.
Oh, you're such
I'm a purist. Lore
you're
a, of
oh,
the, you know,
right.
I didn't feel like it really
the magic school bus
connected
lore.
The screen very well.
Oh,
you know,
right.
I'm one of those people who read the books.
Oh, right, an OG
fan. I have seen the obviously I've seen the TV show though.
Mm.
Yeah,
don't they? They get small and they go into things, right? That's like what happens.
Yeah.
So that's this.
Yeah.
Moffat be watching too much Magic School Bus in his spare time.
I remember the synopsis, or just maybe not even that, like the this episode idea got leaked before any trailers or anything like that. I remember you saying this is the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I think this is the first time I've watched this episode and enjoyed it.
Oh god!
Because in the past I've been like, what a dumb idea! Like, it's so stupid. Why are we going into a Dalek? And there's bits that take me out of the episode, but I think it's a solid, good episode.
Do you remember me always absolutely loving it?
No.
Okay, well, that sucks.
No memory.
I have great memories of me telling you all the time how much I fucking love this episode. I think this is like, I think this episode achieves so much, and I love the pacing so much.
Yeah, it's actually
it's so good. The pacing is
really
so good, and it achieves so much. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Phil Ford back from Paul's Mars.
And Dreamland. And comes back. Let's not forget Dreamland.
Sorry, Dreamland and Gwen's wedding in season two of Torchwood.
And a bunch of Sarah Jane.
Yeah, I love Phil Ford. I think he's great. I love Dreamland. I got a tattoo on me. I wish. Across my chest.
I was like, what are Dreamland, you keeping from
by
me?
Phil Ford. My favorite episode ever. we still haven't watched that fucking other animation we need to
Infinity
watch.
Quest.
Yeah, Infinity Quest.
We'll do that at some
not
point.
Not written by Phil Ford.
Sadly.
But I always said to you as a kid, I was like, hey man, this the pace in this episode. Remember I told you last week I was trying to get more technical with like directing and like
things were written. So I was like, gotcha.
The pacing, Aiden, the pacing.
The pacing.
Yeah, did you see the pacing?
It never really gets boring. It flows so nice. Like at the start, all the school stuff, which I really loved. I really enjoyed the school stuff.
Hill.
People I know gave the guy, is it Samuel Anderson? Sam Anderson?
Mr. Pink, yes.
Samuel Anderson, Danny Pink. Gave him such a hard time so far on this rewatch with this limited time we've seen of him.
Did they really?
I think, yeah, he got destroyed, dude.
Really?
Like, yes. Like, people hated him.
Really?
Like, I'm not... Yes.
I remember that at all.
People talk so much shit about him. Like...
What, his character?
Yeah, it was like the Timeless Child of Series 8. Probably not as controversial.
For real?
But it was like the internet, the Twitter. I didn't have Twitter at the time, but... Just the amount of shit I would see about it online was like, Danny Pink's such a bad character. The acting's so bad. Okay. I like their chemistry this episode. I thought it was good. I did think at the start when they first met, I was like, I don't know quite why Clara's pursuing him so much. Like, it did kind of come out of nowhere, but...
It does come out of nowhere. But I guess, like, you know, she spotted him. She's a single woman. She's like, hey, he's cute.
Looks good.
We'll go out together.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that. I've always kind of liked his character. I've never really... I mean, it can't be that memorable because I totally forgot he was even in this series until you mentioned him last week.
Yeah.
Because you're like that Danny Pink and I was like, oh fuck, I forgot about him.
Hmm.
I always remember him being quite an enjoyable part about this series.
Cool.
In bomb memory. I mean, I was going through the episode list today. I don't know, Dan keeps rattling on about how good season 8 is and how he's been really enjoying it. He finally just passed us on his rewatch. And apart from... next week's episode and maybe in the Forest of the Night, I really do think I'm gonna love every episode
because
it looks really solid. The lineup looks really good.
I've got to say, like, going through series 7 and even like some of the last of Smith's episodes, like, it was still quite often like, oh, we really gotta watch it this week, and then we talk about it, and we like the best parts of those episodes I felt were when we like talked less about the episode, right?
Where yeah,
just because it was the same thing every week is like Doctor New Planet, which is the same thing as this. I mean, that's just Doctor Who in it. But like, I just feel like it's so much more well crafted.
I agree, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. I sent to you guys today in our group chat, like, I really hope the new Doctor that Russell picks, well, not even picks, but more like writing wise, is like Peter's. Because I think that's what I'm most about Peter and Jodie's era. It's because I love that. There's even this great scene in the beginning where like he saves the soldier and she doesn't say please. And he's like, get it right. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Respect the fact that I saved you. If you kill me, you'll die in this ship. She won't even find a light switch. Like,
yeah, that was
he's
funny.
So fucking, he's stern and he's like straightforward. He
Howard
says how
Stern.
It is. He's Howard Stern.
I
serious FM.
I watched this and look, I've not seen series 8 in years.
Oh, like, same.
I couldn't tell you the last time I watched any of these episodes, I don't think. Like, I really
me too.
Have barely touched this series since probably, like, maybe 2016.
But I don't think we really liked it that much. Well, I never touched it much.
Yeah.
It was never on my rewatch list. Like, if I was randomly picking an episode to watch, I would never go to this series.
Yeah, neither. But, A, I'm loving it now. B, I can't remember what my point was.
That's good.
Oh, but basically, I forgot how different Pete's character was in series 8 than
it's
he was
very different,
because my memories of him is like series 10, just because that's, even though I've only rewatched series 10 once and that was immediately after it came out, so I've seen most of the episodes twice, he is obviously a bit more
mature, goofier almost, and like, well, he's like, yeah, I get what you mean, goofy, like he is goofy, but also like he's like, you know, working at the what I mean by mature, it's weird because he is goofy and mature, but like, he's also working at like the university.
Yeah,
but you're right, though. He is more goofy as well. Yeah, he's
quite different.
Yeah.
And that's what took me by... That's the last memory I have of Pete. So that's what I kind of remember. And then going back and watching how it all began now is like, I can't believe how stern he is.
Yeah.
And I love it because
yeah.
I would hate it if he stayed like that the whole way through his run. I like that we have a progression in his character. I know people say that it doesn't make sense half the time. We'll be the judge of that when we get to there. Because, yeah. you know, he's so stern in 8 and then 9, he's silly. From my understanding, the point of Series 8 is him realizing that he's a silly man, I think he says in the finale or something. So for me, it's a natural progression. But look,
also,
we'll
see I do think there is a big gap between 8 and 9 as well.
In like the Doctor's life?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I also think that whole thing that happened with him when he went to save Davros really changed him. Because that's the whole point of the opener in Season 9, is that like, you know, should he have let Davros die on the battlefield? And gotcha, I think that changes him, which is why he goes into like isolation and stuff.
We'll see, a bit of COVID.
But yeah, a bit of COVID, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I could not believe how stern he was in this. Like he
let people just die. He's like, oh, they're dead. Fuck you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so great.
And I can't believe
that. It's
such a
breath of fresh air after that.
I couldn't believe Moff was allowed to do it.
Mm.
Like, it's so different. I went back and watched the Series 8 trailer and I was like, it just looks so grim. Mm. Not in like a bad way, like in a...
I want that now.
In a more mature
way. I want that. Season 14, I want that back.
Give me that grimness.
I want that grimness back. Yeah. Give me Grimace. I want it. That'd be really good if we get that.
Yeah.
And I think we are going to get that.
Mm. Yeah. So like, the opening, I love. There's so many Star Wars references in this episode, for one.
Mm.
But the opening, it's not a direct reference to Star Wars, but like... the classic Star Wars movie starting with like a massive ship dwarfing a planet or something. This was like a massive ship and there were different shots, but you could tell they kind of went for the whole thing of like massive ship versus small ship. And there's so many shots that juxtapose those ships together. Just a great bit of direction there.
Yeah.
CGI is, you know, the ship stuff isn't amazing, but it's still pretty great. But throughout the rest of the episode, there's some awesome CGI stuff in there, I think. But the shooting is the score. Fucking hell, I could just froth this episode, man.
I do. I've always loved it. I really always have. Yeah, the opening is sick. I've always loved how much, again, like I said, they fit in the episode. Like the opening, and then when they land on the Aristotle, I think it's called, and then they're like, we need a doctor. You get to see the doctor looking at the patient. You don't get to see it. Then it cuts to Cole Hill, and then they have the whole Danny Pink and Clara stuff, and then the doctor picks up Clara,
which
connects into Deep Breath with the coffee.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really funny. I always thought, like, you know, I stood up for Danny Pink, but I never, like, loved him. I was like, yeah, he's a fine character. But I genuinely was chuckling. Well, at 5:30 this morning watching this episode, I was chuckling as Danny was banging his head.
It's good
and
stuff.
The way that, like, it cuts between what he should have said versus what he did say.
I
love
that.
Clever and funny.
Script-wise, I think this episode is really great.
Yeah.
Like, I love all that stuff. I don't want to sound like a broken record by saying Pace and Heaps, but this is my point with what I had with Legend of the Sea Devils, where I didn't understand why there were two writers. For an episode like this, where it's like juggling so much stuff, it would help with being like another person in the room, being like, okay, how can we fit this in? And even the writing-wise, when Doctor picks up Clara, they have that conversation, the Tars like, I'm a good man scene, which is perfect. And it's like, I need you. And then it cuts back to then the Doctor seeing...
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like... it's like chronologically, I think that's the word.
Yep.
It's out of like... it's out of sync, because then Doctor sees the Dalek and then cuts to the Clara stuff, and then you get to see his reaction to then the Dalek.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Clara the story and they land on the ship. It's so good.
Love that.
So
I love playing with narrative structure.
Yes, narrative structure is probably a better word. Yeah.
All of my shorts, definitely more successful than others in parts, have all, except one, have all played with structure.
Mm-hmm.
Let Me Be as an example. Which, by the way, is a trailer for that. If you want to go watch that,
that's good.
Now that I've said it, I'll link it in the description.
In the Malyption.
What? In the Malyption.
In the Malyption.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, the description.
But yeah, we released a trailer. Proud of it. Looks cool. Sounds cool. The fuck was I saying before I just
about myself? The structure and the story and all that.
Yeah, no, and I just love that. Like, Nolan's films do that great. Like, Nolan films are really enjoyable.
Yeah.
I don't love them because they are just big studio things a lot of the time, but they're good.
Dunkirk.
They're good at that. You've probably seen Memento, right?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
That's
it's so good.
My favorite is Prestige, but
yeah,
second will be Memento, just because it what they do with structure. If you haven't seen it,
it's really good.
It's a film in reverse, isn't it? Couple of years ago I watched it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, kind of remember where like you know, like it's kind of like, you know, Pulp Fiction almost, I think. Like how it's kind of like different in...
Fiction's like three different stories, though.
Yeah, but... No, I know. But I mean, like, you know, I'm saying like it's kind of like this in like the idea. Like it's kind of like, you know, different times, different... I don't know. That was a bad example. But anyway, it kind of reminded me of that.
Memento, it's like you basically start the movie at the end of the movie and every scene... Obviously, the scenes play out... Everyone talks in the right order. We're not like talking backwards.
Yeah.
But the actual order of the scenes is in backwards, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But then it crosses with the present, doesn't it? It cuts back between.
Yeah.
Just watch Memento, man. If that is the kind of thing that incites you, like it Pulp Fiction. So interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I've always got like tremendous respect. I mean, not like the episode at once, but like, you know, I always love stuff like that.
Mm.
And I've always, like, as much as the storyline is kind of silly, and if you can kind of get over the fact that a Dalek has, like, perfect place for humans to run about in it, you can kind of get over that, I think.
I
really need to pee. I'm sorry, man.
I just chat to myself. I used to hate the idea of them being miniaturized and going in. Now I think that's so... The lasagna lines in this episode. Don't be lasagna. I used to always hate the idea of them being miniaturized and going into the Dalek. But now, for me, that feels so inept. Is that the right phrase? With Classic Who. Because Classic Who, we have them, you know, multiple times, I think, characters get miniaturized. Now that I say that, I don't think I've ever actually seen any of those episodes. But I'm aware of them. And that's what bloody matters. But... I'll save my next point for Connor. What can I talk about now? Oh, yes, my short film, Let Me Be. So, you know, it's been a labor of love for 18 months. This is so vain. A labor of love for 18 months, and it is almost complete. We have the trailer out. We have a great cast. It's a lot of fun. It's quite heartwarming in parts. And my cinematographer, Daniel Ellis is beautiful at what he does. Connor is back. But you can watch. I was just plugging Let Me Be again. I wanted to say to you. So
you gotta plug some stuff.
I've got to be a showman, you know?
Hey, man.
I've got to make people aware of it. Otherwise, no one watches.
I respect the showmanship.
You've got to do it. I didn't want to actually click because people hate that.
Yeah, go on. What were you going to say?
What I was going to say was. So. Earlier I said there was a few things that took me out of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always scenes where we were inside the Dalek and you'd be like a convenient corridor. No, I enjoy the miniaturizedness of it,
mm-hmm.
but them being in they're inside the Dalek and it's just a corridor. Like, couldn't you have at least made it look like, I know there's a couple of them, but make them like round and like you're climbing through like a... Not like a bit of wiring.
They did a little bit. They did. I know. I only noticed it a few times. Like you, like the screw for one.
Yeah.
The big screw.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's a screw bolt or a bolt for a screw. Yeah.
There's some bits, but
not much.
They could have done a lot more of it. And there was a few times where there was just stuff like that where it was like, this is very convenient. Like I didn't believe that I was inside a Dalek. You know.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest. Biggest shame at the episode. And also, like, you know, part of me, as much as I fucking love this episode so much, probably the most I've enjoyed a Doctor Who episode in a while, I do question maybe what two writers like Phil Ford and Stephen Moffat could have done. It does kind of surprise me that they decided to go, let's do an episode where we go inside a Dalek. Like, it could have easily been so dumb. But I think if you get over that and you get over the fact they go inside a Dalek, you're right, I agree. There are like there are stuff like, you know, they just walk through the eye stalk and that's kind of dumb and it looks exactly it looks awesome. That blue is really good.
Direction going.
But you know what reminded me of the antibodies from season 6, you know, when they're going through the blue kind of like tubes and stuff. So that gave a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But you know, there's an actor from Game of Thrones there who I believe is from the North. He always makes me laugh because he dies first from the antibodies. He's from Game of Thrones.
I don't remember.
I remember because when Game of Thrones was coming out at the time, I'm like, oh my God, it's our boy from GOT. And I loved that scene. The doctor's like, look, chew this. And he's like, all right. And he just dies. And it's like, but they use it just to track him.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, fuck you, you're dead anyway. Take this. Everyone thinks it's going to save them. But can I say, there's two actors in this from two amazing British comedies that you should watch. First of all, the girl, I don't think her name is Journey Blue.
Journey Blue, yeah.
She is from a great show called Fresh Meat, which I really love. And then her uncle, I think she just calls him uncle, is from an amazing show that I love called Space, which was Edgar Wright's.
Oh, I keep... remind me at the end of the show to add that to my list of TV shows to watch.
Space because is so fucking good.
I have really wanted to watch that for a while, but I always forget about it.
It is so great. And there's only like, I believe there's only like 12 episodes or something. There's only got like only, two seasons. And the guy who plays Uncle, he's only in two episodes. He's in one episode per season, but he plays a guy called Tyres. And he is fucking so great in it. He's like one of those characters who you'd think is in like, he's such a great character. And it's done so well that you just like remember him so much, you forget he's only in like two episodes. Because every scene he's in, he's just so funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
And he actually, he's in World's End, and he makes a brief cameo in Shaun of the Dead. Actually dresses his character from Space. He's a zombie, but he dresses his character from Space.
I watched Shaun of the Dead like a month ago, and I didn't
recognize it's really hard to find. He's in like a, he's in a massive crowd of zombies dressed as Tyres. From, I randomly watched Space, and it's literally, every episode is directed by Edgar Wright. Awesome. It's fucking great.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things.
Vinny's the only person I know actually watched it.
Yeah, I've heard some people talk about it on a podcast that I listen to.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. But anyway, two actors in this from two British shows I watch, which are both highly recommend. What do you think of the Antibodies and stuff? That was kind of fun.
Yeah, but they were one of those things where I was like, I don't think that's what they would look like.
Yeah, I agree. It's fun, but also... the second you start to think about it a little bit, you're like, hang on a minute, what? Like,
I just think the production design could have been a bit more interesting. I like the gloominess of it, this whole episode. Like,
I'll get you.
I don't like things that look too like grey and gross, but it worked in this episode, and there was pops of colour where it mattered and helped. In the TARDIS, it's so colourful, yet dull. TARDIS
so much.
Yeah,
There's a beautiful line. Sorry. There's a beautiful line before I forget where the doctor's like, he's looking at the engineer and that makes the Dalek. He's like, there's a line where he's like, every little bit of like compassion or care goes through this thing and destroys it. And it's like, picture the worst thing in the universe. Now forget about it. You're looking at it right now. This is evil. This is evil right here.
Yeah, it's like evil in technology. Or
evil in evil in something. Evil in engineering.
Yeah,
and I think that is it's lines like that where I'm like, okay, you know, Steven and Phil are such a great pairing together. I wish we got to see more.
Yeah, but
he's never come back after this. So Phil, obviously not Steven. Steven pops up quite a bit here and there. But it would have been awesome to see him. Maybe he'll come back for RTD2.
Maybe
look how well it went last time.
Yeah, good mate. You had the masterpiece of the waters of Mars. I got some funny quotes here from Pete.
Okay.
There's that line where it's like, I'm his carer. And he's like, yes, exactly.
She cares so I don't have to.
That was really funny. I liked when they introduced, he introduces uncle to Clara. And he's like, he's her uncle. At least I think
I
might have made it up to pass the time I thought that was really
she's
funny.
Got a gun, she's a soldier. I love that.
And there's another line, not necessarily like funny, but I thought it was interesting. This is probably like one of the first times a character's first experience of the TARDIS has been from inside the TARDIS, and she steps out and she goes, it's smaller on the outside.
Yeah, it's a lot better the other way around.
And I always thought, you know, that's like a lame, just a spin on the big on the inside thing. But I was like, no, that's actually kind of funny. Because if you do,
no one actually really gets, what's the word?
No, like, one's first experience of the TARDIS has been seeing the inside of it, first, then seeing the outside. Gets
transported inside, materialized in the TARDIS, I should say, yeah.
Yeah, and when he's like, yeah, it's more impressive if you do it in reverse. Yeah, yeah. That was cool. Another thing I want to say is that the soldier setup for how that plays into the series arc of the Danny Pink stuff, which, by the way, having Danny in this episode just and in more episodes of the season just makes the series feel like connected in a way, which is really nice, without it being like series six. But the soldier setup, you know, we see that he's a soldier and, you know, it's maybe a little bit forced at the moment, but he has that ghost of I have this thing in my past that I hate about myself.
Yeah, that the kids question in the class, although I think it's a little bit thrown in. I think it's actually really emotional, and I could see a fucking dickhead kid asking something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even think the kid was trying to be like offensive, but I could see a child asking and not necessarily being as socially aware.
Yeah, definitely.
The only thing that annoyed me was, I think his first question was fair. It was like, have you ever killed anyone? And I think Danny's response is really good. It's like, I'm a soldier, there was a soldier on the side. But then, like, the kid asking again, did you ever kill someone? Like,
that was wasn't a soldier.
And I'm like, hang on a minute, kid. Like, surely you read the room enough to be like, the guy's clearly upset.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it should have been, like, handled a bit different. Like, maybe the kid's response to his question was a little bit like, ooh. Maybe, like, we won that emotional beat afterwards, but having the kid just ask that question just felt a bit forced.
I could take the first one, but and I didn't really like how later on that kind of played into Clara being like, oh, will you shoot people and cry afterwards?
Yeah,
I didn't really like that either.
It just felt a little forced, but I enjoyed that stuff got set up. And then also in this episode, it's set up the doctor really disliking soldiers. So now it's a thing of like, you know, we're gonna see Kara and Danny's relationship progress, and there's this thing of like, oh no, what's gonna happen when the doctor finds out?
Because you know that they're eventually, watching it first time, you're like, you know, they're gonna cross paths, their relationship's gonna start growing.
So they've like planted these seeds in these episodes that are just really valuable to the season, I think.
I totally agree, man. Like, even Journey Blue, Danny Pink, she's like, met a soldier called Pink, and at the end, when I love how Jones like taming with you, and the doctor's like, again, we're talking about this bluntness of the 12th doctor. He's like, nah, I'm sorry, like, fuck you, I don't do, I don't take soldiers with me. I wish you weren't a soldier. And then the finals in the episode, which I think is perfect, by the way, is when Danny's like, so you really want to go get a drink with me? And Clara's like, yeah. And he's like, I thought you didn't want to date a soldier or be around a soldier. He's like, nah, not me.
Yeah, it's the doctor.
Such a great last line. It's perfect, not me. I love. Yeah. I thought that was it. Again, the pace in the episode, even at the end, to have it's unlike anything we really see in a Doctor Who episode. A Doctor Who episode sometimes can just feel so rushed, and they try and squeeze everything in. I don't think this episode gets enough credit for how, even to like end the episode and have Clara go back to Coal Hill, and to like, she literally went in the cupboard and came out again, like in different clothes, which was a funny gag. I thought
it was a good joke.
She gets covered in all that protein goo.
Yeah. It was
what? Goo for the week coming up soon. No, I'll
fight you. We'll have a good chat about it.
Probably the most famous goo for the week ever.
Well,
maybe not.
But yeah, it accomplishes so much in such a short time. It's only 46 minutes, and
it feels great. It feels like a movie. It feels epic. Does,
yeah.
It feels really great.
It maybe doesn't have the emotional weight of the Doctor's Wife, but it does a similar thing where it's like 45 minutes.
That's a really good comparison, I think. You know what? I actually think it's a really good Dalek story. It's the first time in a while I've actually enjoyed Dalek story.
Yeah, I don't know.
The army of Daleks coming in, I didn't like. But the whole rusty thing, the Doctor and Rusty's relationship is really cool. Every time it cut to the Daleks on a ship going, we will now invade.
It looked nice.
The Aristotle. Oh, man, it looks beautiful. It looked gorgeous. There's some beautiful. There's like that POV of the Daleks' eye stalk as it's rolling. It sticks on the Dalek. And there's.
Yes. Oh, that was great.
There's some beautiful shots where the Dalek is perfectly lined up with the eye stalk in the middle of your TV. And it almost looks like you're watching it in 3D. It's so perfect. But yeah, I didn't like. I like the Dalek stuff with. Also, my cat's called Rusty, so, you know, that helps. But, you know, Rusty fucking comes back, doesn't he? He comes back in Twice One Time.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. Dumb.
Yeah.
So dumb. But there, I there like is... their relationship. That stuff I like. I don't like the Daleks invading the base. Although it looked, by the way, it looks fucking great.
Yeah. It looks stunning.
Fucking great.
Yeah. It was one of those things similar to, like, the Vastra stuff at the end of Deep Breath. Where it's like, we had these great like emotional scenes, you know, we've got the Doctor talking out with the Clockwork Robot, here you have the Doctor talking out with the Dalek, and it's great stuff. But then it's like, they're intercutting it. Both of them do the same thing when they start intercutting those conversations with an action sequence.
Right.
And the action sequence kind of starts off fun, but then you kind of get to a point where you're like, yeah, I've had enough. I personally did quite enjoy it. I don't know. Like, the Daleks weren't a strong enough presence for me to say, yeah, it's a great Dalek story. Like, it doesn't...
Fair enough. What about the Rusty like stuff, though? Did you...
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
You're right, though, because it doesn't really feel like a Dalek story.
No, almost. It doesn't. Like,
yeah,
it's one that flies under the radar a lot of the time, I think, as a Dalek story. That is a spectacular piece of score. I'm clicking on one here that I hope is the right one.
Mm-hmm.
That just, like... It happened as the Daleks attack, and it blew my friggin' mind. I was like, this is an exceptional piece of score. I hope it picks up. We'll figure it out. But, dude, Murray this season
has shaken things up. No, Murray's change is so perfect. It's so
wild. Like, yeah. I think after Series 7 being so many reused pieces of score, to finally have, like, just a new sound and all new sounds has been superb.
Yeah, Murray's not so much Eckerson to Tennant, but because that was it was still Rose and it was still like Jackie and Mickey and the Power Slayer and all that. But like, you know, I think Murray's change from David to Matt to Peter is so distinct. And I think as someone who would score Doctor Who, I think you'd struggle so much, but they're such distinct eras.
Yeah.
Peter's era is something I go back to a lot. Like, it's very, very good.
I don't listen to it an awful lot.
Really?
I think, no.
It's probably my most listened to, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
I'm going to skip through here and see if I can find the bit that I was talking about.
I think it's great.
This part.
It's very John Williams-y.
I know, but it's so good.
I like it. That's some John Williams. I was going to say, it's just unreleased because you can hear the Daleks.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love that. You're right with the John Williams in the Star Wars.
That's what I mean. I didn't even notice that. You can tell there's so many little Star Wars little nuggets in there.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. Like, even down to, like, you know, they're lining up as someone, you know, the classic
Darth
Vader's opening the door and they're
classic.
In the white hallway.
Of course, yes.
With the guns out.
Yes, yes.
But I really loved it. It didn't feel too much like it was... I don't know, like, it didn't feel like it was like, here is Star Wars. Like, you could easily kind of forget it and get invested in the story.
Yeah. And
as someone, you know, same as you, who's kind of lost interest in Star Wars these days.
Sadly, like, yeah.
It wasn't annoying. It didn't feel like it was trying to be Star Wars. It was just like playing homage to some tropes in Star Wars.
It's odd because I feel like, you know, like I said, Dan's been rewatching them. He just took us over. So he watched the episode before me, or rewatched it. And he said he didn't enjoy it as much. And I was like, damn, maybe I'm not going to. But this is, again, the most... I mean, obviously, like, the 50th aside, because obviously you're going to enjoy the 50th from nostalgia aspects.
Yeah. I enjoyed this more than the 50th on rewatch, if I'm being honest.
I think I did too.
Yeah.
Because I think... Well, it's got more to prove, I think. And, you know, I think it's the first time I've watched an episode. I'm like, man, this is Doctor Who, man. This is really great. Even down to stuff like, I mean, you know, this is stuff that people don't really notice or really care about. But, like, I even just love his costume. And I love how Peter handles himself with the costume. I really miss the way he used to button... He left one button on.
Yeah,
I
like
it. He doesn't do that much
I enjoy all of his looks,
I miss
to be
that.
Honest.
I love all his looks. Yeah. And you do almost feel like some of his looks are just a bit of his era. And he moves on to the next bit.
Because he definitely, like... You know, he takes himself so seriously in this season, and then he gets goofier.
You're not wrong, actually. That's so true. Because he would present himself quite...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that look. Was it last week on the podcast I told the story about me touching the red velvet?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite costume for a Doctor ever.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
It is. We got to resolve the cliffhanger from last week's podcast.
What was that?
Where you said, yeah, great title sequence. And I said, yeah, I don't know about that one.
Gone. Sorry, for once, I didn't actually rewatch the episode.
Gasp. It's a good one.
For once.
From, if I must say.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the app. Maybe.
I
thought we had
good chemistry. Do you want to know why I didn't
watch it? Why not?
Because I had a few beers and I was a bit self-conscious. All right?
Okay.
Why are you nodding?
All right.
Why are you nodding in the group?
I don't know. I think it was a fun episode.
You're like, Connor took it too far.
No, I was editing and listening to it and I just thought we had some good banter.
Yeah. I felt like I've not been at work all week. My dad's been away with my dad and it was my first night of unemployment for 2 weeks. So I was like, I'm going to have a few beers. And I think I certainly had a few beers.
I don't think you said anything wrong, though.
No, I think I said anything wrong. I just... You know, man, anxiety and all that, I always finish a show and I'm like, did I say anything? Did I did I upset Aiden? Did I say something annoyed Aiden? I hated it.
No. No, I did.
I just, this is what goes through my mind.
No, that's
I'm like,
fair.
Did I upset Aiden? Did I say anything that annoyed him? I don't know, I know you have to edit the episode and I'm always like, oh, did I say something that he wants to redact? Is that what the new thing's called? The redact?
Redacted.
Yeah. Does Aiden need to redacted anything I said? I don't know, man. It's just like, I'm sure you get it.
Well, look, whenever there is stuff that, because there has been a couple of times, you might not notice if you listen to them, but on the clips you can see, like, if something, sometimes I might say something that maybe I just, like, say wrong and it comes off not in the right way, or sometimes maybe make a joke that goes the wrong way. Like, some stuff I said in the 100th episode, I ended up cutting out.
That's the only time I've noticed you edited something out.
Yeah, okay, because it does happen from time to time, like...
Yeah, I know what you said now, yeah. But, yeah.
I just feel like I took an opinion too far.
Yeah, that's fine. I just think that, like, you know, I love this show and I get so scared that I'm going to do something to mess it up that you wouldn't want to do it. I know this sounds crazy.
Ride the wave,
but
baby.
I have really weird, like, anxious things, issues. I spoke about it last week when... I said that story about how, like, I was convinced my friends in high school just didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And we said this after the show. We had a bit of a conversation after the show. Like, I'm obsessed with people liking me.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
If people don't like me, I take such offense and I'm so hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
okay,
oh my God, like, that hurts so much. And I think, obviously, you can't please everyone on a show, but I was like, I don't know. I just thought I got a little bit drunk. I noticed when I went home, I was a bit leery, and I was like, "Did I say anything?"
No, you
didn't.
You were fine.
I know you go through it, and I know you wouldn't stitch me up. But I was like, when it went on air on Monday, I was like, I might just leave that one.
Yeah,
I might just not check that one out.
Maybe one day I'll re-edit. I'll cut out different parts of the show and make a sentence.
Yeah, there you go. And you can stitch me up.
Yeah.
Also, if you notice tonight, my beers aren't stacked on the fucking thing, so anyone who watches knows how many beers I had. Plus I had like two before I left the house, so sure. I got a bit sent.
You know, speaking of like stitching up stuff like that, this is probably there's
Do
a
you
mild
stitch your actors up
no I mean, yeah, that's part of filmmaking, but it's when you're doing documentary is when it gets a little bit like you don't want to destroy too much what people are saying because that's people's images. But in one documentary there was this one guy
this is what you did for uni?
Yeah, so we're in a workshop and I was asking some
questions.
That
never got released, did it?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
YouTube.
I always wanted to see that. I never watched that.
It's on my YouTube.
Okay.
Voice of I'll link that one as well if you'd like.
Go on, in the Malipsian.
Yeah. So there's a bit in that where I'm at like a workshop and I let them just do their talking for a little bit. And then I like ask a question that kind of maybe, it's the opposite of what they're fighting for, right? So and this guy answers, but dude, his answer was like 3 minutes long and it was like stop starting the whole time. And for what we were wanting to be like a 10-minute film, like we couldn't use it. But what he said, what he was like saying was really important,
like that
It was such a big part. And we're like, fuck, what can we do? And we genuinely stitched that like 3-minute thing into one sentence. We like cut sentences together. It sounds supernatural. Like, it sounds like you don't notice it at all. I was so impressed how my editor did it. And, like, we had to cut a lot around that point to make it kind of work.
Mm.
Because you could obviously see that his words weren't always flowing the way that they should with his...
So just, like, put some B-roll in the background or something?
Yeah, we did some B-roll, like, some stuff for me being like, and, like, some bits were, like, kind of from behind him a little bit. But yeah, it was very much like a moral
classic
theme.
Shots where they like stop talking the other way and you can play a little bit of the first sentence. And
yeah.
Cast to the,
yeah.
And you're like,
yeah,
that's good.
But that was like a moral thing because we were like, this isn't exactly what he said, but it's like the point of what his argument was is being summarized in one sentence here.
Right.
I don't know. I don't even know how the hell we got onto this conversation.
I know what you mean though. Like sometimes when you're filming someone or like doing something, like they don't, like I've had people on our other podcast before. Like for Mitchell, for example, who has nothing to do with like any of this film and stuff. Like we film like episodes sometimes where I'm like, that's never going to air. And yeah, he's like, okay. Why? And I'm like, well, first of all, it was like, we were just chatting stupid shit. Mm. Like, it's funny for us.
Yeah, but not like, for other people.
I don't, and then like, sometimes for like, sometimes when you're like, maybe filming a documentary, people wouldn't know to like, they're like, oh, I have to edit this later. Maybe I should summarize my thoughts up into like a minute.
The most awkward thing I find when doing docos, and also like, it's funny, it comes down to like some wedding stuff as well, because I've done a couple of weddings where they kind of want it to be a documentary in a way, where I sat them down and asked them questions.
Talk to like the bridesmaids and stuff.
Yeah. And in that, I have to be like, at the start, I'm like, okay, so...
remember to keep it a bit short.
There's a few things that are going to be kind of weird about it. One is that I'm not going to respond to what you're saying till after you've finished talking. I'm not going to be there like, oh, yeah, because then...
Well, I'm like, and what about this, almost? Like,
if you sit there going, yeah, no, I agree. A, for a wedding video, it gets my voice on camera, which you don't
right,
want.
Right, yeah.
And B, for a documentary, it's so annoying. You don't realize how much in normal conversations you go, yeah, okay.
Bro, yeah. Do you know, that's so weird you said that. I've noticed myself, and I've been trying to stop doing it, and I've been doing it this episode. But you say something, I go,
I think it's kind of fine on podcasts, because you bounce back around like that.
It is, but then I feel like, surely people notice it, and it's maybe. So annoying. I just don't, want you to think when you're talking, I'm not giving a fuck about what you say.
No, it's okay, you're listening.
Here goes the anxiety again, folks.
That's what's weird.
It always comes down to this.
That's what's weird about doing those sort of interviews, because it's like, you're like normal social cues that show that I'm interacting with what you're saying. I can't do because it's invasive as to the filmmaking process. One other thing is that at the start I have to be like, so your answer, can you include my question in your answer? So if I'm like, oh, what's the weather like today, Connor? Instead of you just being like, sunny, you need to be like, the weather today is sunny, you know? So that way you don't have to have my question inserted into the documentary, right?
I see, yeah.
Which is difficult. Participatory documentaries, which is like what Louis does and like what my doco is, they're fine because obviously you're a part of the documentary, so you asking the questions is fine. But when you're doing other things, even things like reality TV, right? Yeah. Like the Kardashians and stuff. It's so rare that you're here.
I hate last when the coppers.
My girlfriend loves it. Dude, the new Disney Plus version bad. It's even worse.
Dude, I've heard stuff, yeah.
Mm.
Do you know what though, man? I watch a lot of Louis. Not to be that guy, but I remember telling like you guys to watch it, and the only person I knew who watched it was your friend Andrew.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't mind me saying his name.
Big fan, no? He's a big fan.
I remember saying to you guys, do you watch Lou through? And you were like, oh, I think Andrew does. Not trying to call you out for not watching him for a while. Fine. But every time I watch that, I watch documentary of his, I'm like, man, I really want to do something like this.
I love it, dude. It inspires me so much. Weirdly,
he inspires me a lot as well, yeah.
That documentary that I made, it did quite well in the school. Do I say this? Now it just sounds like I'm going to flex.
No, go ahead.
It's like often used as an example at the uni for the documentary course. Thank you. But a criticism that I got a lot from students, maybe some more narcissistic members of my cohort, were like, oh, you know, you just copy Louis' style and stuff. And I 100%, hand on heart, before making that documentary,
had never watched
a Louis.
Because you hadn't, and I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Because, what have we got to say, really? I can't contest to that.
I'd seen like one or two, like in class, you go through different types of documentaries, and I'd seen like one or two like minutes, like they show you clips to show you what it's like.
Yeah, Louis is the guy, though.
So after that, I heard that, and I heard people saying like, it's a similar style to Louis and stuff. And I was like, I've got to watch this Louis guy, right? And in about like 3 or 4 months. And what was great is Nick and I, my girlfriend, don't agree on a lot of the same film stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not a lot of things that we...
But you love Louis.
But she... I showed her one Louis, and she was like, fuck yeah. And we, like, in, like, 3 months, watched his entire catalogue. Yeah,
that's what... Stan's so good, man. Yes. It's got all of them.
They've added all the new ones recently as well,
Stan,
which is great.
Stan is so much better than Netflix. I fucking hate Netflix.
Yeah, I don't touch Netflix, man.
Dude, shit. I love Stan. Go Australia, by the way. That's an Australian streaming service.
It's got Doctor Who as well.
It does. That's why I watch Doctor Who. Better Call Saul. Fucking weekly. It's uploaded.
Like, it's movies.
Stan is so good.
It's movies so have good. Such a good range of, like... The big blockbusters. Give us that Stan original. Just want to watch for a laugh.
Where's the Stan original podcast?
Where is it?
Well, yeah.
But then they also have like the smaller movies as well, you know?
Yeah, they do. And they've recently gotten a lot of licensing to the rugby and stuff and all that.
Oh, they
and
do have a sports section stuff. Now. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I'm going to see the England versus Australia rugby, actually.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go see the... it's not the same thing.
The Red Devils.
I'm going to see Man United versus... Yeah.
Do you get the tickets?
I think so. Yeah. Mom's doing it.
Yeah, I want to go do that. So I know, dad. Man... Perth is finally getting back to it. We are back to it.
We are kicking strong.
Yeah. But yeah, to wrap that convo, I still don't know what I want to do with like my personal channel. I go to like, should I do a comedy route? Should I go a serious route? I never know. But every time I watch like a Louis Free thing, I'm like...
I think you should go serious route. I think you'd be solid at having those conversations.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. You know, when I was younger, well, not that young, like when I left school, I planned, like literally a lot, I planned to do a documentary on Christianity.
Mm.
And I was gonna go to a church and talk to people, but I got talked out of it because it was gonna be my first thing I ever did. And also, I don't know, a few people read my notes and I wasn't trying to come across as offensive, but I think... You know, I was mostly going to ask questions about mostly when, like, kids get older and, like, if they're in Christianity, like, what would you feel about them, like, having boyfriends, maybe getting into, like, you know, sexual relationships and stuff. And I was going to ask, like, questions like that. And that's just stuff that interested me because I was like, you know, I was getting older. I knew people who went to church. I knew people who were getting girlfriends and stuff. I'm like, this is stuff that people all around the world would be doing. Yeah. But, like... maybe it's different for them and I wanted to hear their perspective on it. But every time I tried to like dive into that area, I did one video on politics. And the second I said I was going to do a video on politics, I got like 3 people messaging me saying like, don't even like bother. I did one video called like, does your vote matter? And I got like 3 messages from people saying like, people close to me saying like, just don't bother. Like, don't bother.
Yeah. Right. I guess you just got to
go for it.
Do what you want to do. You know?
I'm glad I didn't do those, that documentary, by the way. Not that I never would have come across offensive, but I've always wondered how like almost the other half lives, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but I watched too much Louis, I think. I watched too much Louis. Yeah. And that was my problem, I think. And I don't know if I would do documentaries because I don't know if I could shake his style.
It's like
the Casey Neistat of vlogging, now I've done that.
Yeah.
And then I almost feel like I shook that and started doing my own vlogs. And now I'm like, well, I start doing documentaries, do too much Louis, and then shake that and do my own style.
I think Louis' style, though, is very much like just the participatory documentary style where you have someone participating and investigating, right? Yeah. My biggest regret for my documentary is the off-camera conversations.
I've got to watch this. I will watch it. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was on YouTube.
No, it's fine. It's only been out for like 2 years.
Oh, fuck off. Shut the fuck up.
I had this...
shut up.
These conversations... So, with it being made during my studies...
What was your even documentary about?
Sorry, I should have started that when
because
we first started.
I remember there
it.
Was like... I didn't even know there was like riots and shit in Perth City.
So, basically...
Right, so I should say riots. They were... Friendly
protests,
friendly wow, riots, smashing cars, like flipping cop cars,
like pickaxes. And
Aiden was wearing riot gear with a microphone on a boom mic.
Yeah, genuinely, initially went out and when I pitched it, there's a pitching process at uni where you go and everyone pitches ideas and only a handful gets selected.
Folks.
That's right. But when I pitched it, it was kind of like an environmental thing to figure out what the youth can do to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And in the process, I found like this protest group that were getting in a bit of trouble and stuff.
That's right.
I think in the end, we just went along to just see what was it all about with the intention. There was a really big protest coming up in like a month's time. So the intention was over the course of that month to film a few different things around that group for me to then participate in the next, in that last big protest. That stuff may be a little bit convoluted in it, but I went to a small protest. That's the first thing we did. And then I went to like a workshop where they brainstormed ideas and stuff. And then I met up with, I had a Zoom meeting with someone over in Canberra, mm-hmm. Who's an environmental activist. And I was like trying to explain to her, you know, what I was feeling. Well, no, I was trying to find out what's the best way to do a protest, because I was like, you know, these protests seem kind of dodgy and they kind of feel a little bit unsafe at times.
This also pre-COVID, by the way, folks.
This was, so, yeah. Well, literally, this was fucking COVID. Like, I'm not kidding.
Oh, really?
So, we did this.
And then it happened.
We had, we were in our last week of shooting. So, the big protest was in a week's time. And that's when, like, the first couple of murmurs of COVID were coming out.
Right.
And, like, when we first, I'd see London shutting down and different places shutting down. Yeah,
because a big thing about those protests, like, even, like, the Black Lives Matter thing in America, I know a big thing was also, like, you know, COVID is, like, you know...
Yeah, but in Australia, thing, you know, with how COVID was handled in Australia, those protests would not have really happened in Australia at the time.
No.
So we were like, no, yeah. This protest is going to get shut down. We won't have an ending to our documentary if we get locked down. We shot the protest on the Friday, and on the weekend, we got the word that everything was shutting down.
Shit,
and we
were like, yeah. Fuck.
And then we knew that we still had bits of filler for me, like little bits of B-roll of me. So on the following Monday, me and Dan, my DP, went off, and we just shot like a bunch of little bits of B-roll that we might need. And then on the Tuesday, they were like, okay, everyone's working from home, things like that. And we were like, fuck. Man, we were the only crazy. Ones in my cohort to come out with the documentary that we wanted. Everyone else... had to, you know, sacrifice their ideas.
What they got almost.
Yeah, work from what they got or do something completely different.
Yeah.
Do something shot on phones because we couldn't have access to the school gear and things like that. But, yeah, there was a point to this before you asked what it was about.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, just how, like, I didn't want to be, like, a carbon copy of, like, Lou Frew.
Yeah. But yeah, his style is just a participatory style. Like you'll see it watching mine. It's kind of Louis-ist. There's a lot of amateurness to it. I hold a microphone in my hand like a fucking journalist, which I hate. Yeah. Which is just weird.
Nah, I hate journalists. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well.
Sorry to the journalists.
Well,
out
Louis
there,
a journalist. That's what he identifies
not,
as.
Yeah, but not the holding a mic.
Yeah. Sure.
Fucking. Network TV.
You should read his books. His books
look,
are really
BBC
good.
Is like a network, but you know what I mean. It's not like the you know. Mm. I mean BBC News is better than most, but like I hate Australian media for one. I hate the Australian media.
Mm.
I hate the American media. BBC media I actually don't hate, but I don't know what you mean though. Like you know like that's the last one I'm gonna bring him up. I'm sorry, but like you know my
Howard Stern, my not, hero. No,
Ethan Klein is my hero, which by the way is going to piss off heaps of people because I know a lot of people hate him. But like, you know, I said this on the 100th episode, like, man, he inspired me to keep going. Like, I love what he's done. I want to have a podcast in the future, like this one and also another one, maybe another one after that, similar, all running at once and like having the same style of content as him. And like, sometimes I worry if I'm like, you know, a carbon copy of him. And that
this is where
me
I mean
almost.
About just as long as you're watching slash listening
but you,
to
everyone
a lot
is
of
different,
different
though.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you bring yourself though. To it. But the more you expose yourself to different people doing things differently, the more you're like, I like that from that person, that from that person.
It's just hard when you relate to someone, I think.
Sure.
You know, my poor girlfriend, like she walked, especially since I've been off work all week, you know, it's just been running on the TV like all day, and like when she comes back from work or goes to work, it's on, and I'm like, you know, it's playing all day, and I turn it off when she comes upstairs. I'm like, you know, I don't expect you to. She's watched quite a bit, but not all of it. But I'm like not a lot of the show, but like, of H3. But like, you know, it's such a part of me, and it inspired me to keep going. And I don't know, like you know, like life can get hard sometimes, and I think to be inspired by someone is important, but also to have your own. People, you know, like even someone like Tarantino has been like accused of copying a lot of like, you know, copying a lot of shots. Like, you know, it happens, man. Like, it happens. I think we all do it. Like, we all get inspired and we all get maybe a bit taken, carried away sometimes. But I just hope the future's bright, man. I mean, I think it would be, will be. But, you know, I just hope it is. Like, you know, we're getting older. I hope that we can, you know, I just know how many people doubt. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people doubted me, and it hurt my feelings a lot.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, I don't know, keep doing stuff like this sometimes, because, like, you know, I know how many people just don't, I don't know, believe in it almost. I don't know.
Yeah, it's because it's such an unconventional pathway, it's not something that, I don't know. And it's such a developing thing that it's, you know, if you talked about being a YouTuber or a podcaster, it's like, you're just one of those kids that's making YouTube videos. Or it's
God, I hate that.
It's like, no, like this is actually
it's almost cringy to say it now. It's cringy to say you got a podcast almost. Because it's like, I don't know, I feel like people almost like prejudge it. Because people have always, you know, a lot of people do now these days.
Mm.
You know, but you know, you can record a podcast for your phone. Like you can for your phone. Like, you know, it's not like this almost. Mm-hmm. There's a good camera and there's a good setup in a studio. I'm a fussy prick when I don't like talking about it almost. Like I don't like telling people about it. Unless I'm drunk, I'll tell them about it. But I don't talk to my parents about it. I don't know my parents, they didn't even know anything about it really, actually. Like at all. Like
if I wouldn't have told them
I hit 100, they wouldn't know.
I remember they understand what it is now. But back when I first started, they'd be like, "Oh, you're doing your talky thingy."
Yeah, the tonight. Talky thingy.
And I'm like, "Yeah, we're doing the podcast tonight." Yeah. Yeah. Man, that was a tangent and a half, wasn't it? We went off for a bit there, talking about documentaries, talking about Louis, talking about Ethan.
Last thing I will say is, like, you know, a successful show or a successful career for me isn't necessarily about me making it. It's also just showing that hard work pays off. And I do, part of me really just wants to show someone like my parents that, you know, I wasn't just talking mad shit.
Mm-hmm.
I believed in myself and I wanted to do it. And I think that's a really good thing to pass on to people. And I think that's the thing we pass on.
I believe a lot in
law of attraction.
Manifesting. So like, you know, people talk about whiteboarding where you write
wet ass pussy.
You write my internet password on the whiteboard, which...
Yeah. It's not wet ass pussy.
It's not, but there's something similar to it on there.
It's something similar.
But no, you write your goals and stuff onto a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have things that you want, and every day you believe that you can do those things in your head. Then you manifest them and you happen. There's stuff right now that's like, I'm working on that feels ambitious, but there's really exciting steps that are being made at the moment to be developing stuff that I didn't think I would be able to at this point.
No, of course. That's really good though.
And so like, I think so much of that comes to mindset where you are like, for example, if it was you, it's like, I'm going to make this documentary by the end of the year. And then you are going to make it. Like you wake up every day, you tell yourself, you're going to make this documentary every year. You look at your whiteboard, it's on there. You read it every day. I'm going to make this documentary this year.
That's a good point.
You have to start chipping away at it, and you know, you do your first shoots, and you build up momentum more and more from that. Just telling yourself and manifesting this, like even a small thing, like which you know hasn't been manifested yet, but just for the short that I was talking about, Let Me Be, to be successful at the festival run, like that's what I sort of keep telling myself, like. I want Let Me Be to be successful at festivals. Obviously, that depends on the quality of the film at the end of the day. And that's something that I'm working on. But it's also developing a really good festival plan and things like that with the team to get it out.
I think also it would be, if this doesn't happen this time, there's always next time.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
And there's always how, you know, like you say, every project, you know, next time we'd be even more experienced.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big thing. Yeah. I think you should still try and get it in your head that like this one is like I'm gonna do well with this one, and there's more chance of you doing well with it if you, not necessarily stakes because you don't want to crumble under the pressure of it, but having that in your head that something is gonna happen, I think kind of makes it happen. Obviously within reason.
The law of attraction.
I can't be like, I'm going to make a feature film at the end of this year.
You're
gonna
fly
like,
the moon,
bro. I'm not. Yeah. Gonna make a feature film at the end of the year. Everything within reason. But I believe a lot in manifesting.
I also think, like, you know, we're in the time now where it's gonna be different and, you know, things are changing. And what happened 10 years ago is not what's happening now. I think it is, like, different.
Exactly.
You know? I wanted to make this documentary about, like, how my every birthday I'm like, I wanna do a charity thing. Not one of those dumb things on Facebook where you're like, donate to this. I've always wanted to do, like, a like a concert almost, but like you know, I had to play tunes. I've you know, I'm a disc jockey. I've played.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. Like Aiden. I've always wanted to do like an actual thing. Got that. Like an actual event.
Yeah.
Where like all the, you're like, it'll be like $10 admission and all that money, like I mean all of it, goes towards, like, I would pick like a men, maybe like Beyond Blue or something, which I wear all the time. Like a Beyond Blue, like a suicide prevention thing, which is what means the most to me, like a mental health corporation. And maybe like live stream it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, you know, doing something like that and then filming the process of like how that happened and like filming like the actual event and like doing a proper night of just like everyone just chilling out, having drinks, music, having fun. And but also all every dollar that we raise, every dollar goes towards a really great course, you know?
Yeah.
I want to do that maybe this year. Every year I'm like, I should do that and I never do it. So I don't know if, I mean, I flew out literally the day after my birthday last year. So I don't know if I'll do it this year, but I want to.
Just got to manifest it.
I'm like you, man. I got so many things I want to do and I feel like I just sometimes just never do them. You can only do like one thing at once sometimes, I think. It's hard.
Yeah. Just got to tell yourself to do them.
Yep.
Scream it in your head every day when you wake up. Make the music. Make the documentary. Remember when this was a Doctor Who podcast?
Let's talk. I just for like 20 minutes.
That was a long time. Fuck, what are we? We are so overrunning. All right.
I can't remember how that fucking started.
Dude, that literally.
I can't remember how that started.
Going roller coasters, mountains, madness.
Fucking great episode, though. And I love the ending. It's great.
Into the Dark is.
That's how it ends.
It's Aiden's and Connor's podcast.
Guess our ratings. So good.
You tell me.
I love this episode, man. We haven't even done this shit.
Goof of the week.
Oh my god, we haven't even done this.
We haven't even done fucking Goof of the week yet. We gotta do this quick. This is the first time ever, by the way, that I played the Goof of the week tune before I said it's time for Goof of the week. Connor, your Goof of the week, do you just have the one?
Yeah, it's the...
You bastard.
Sorry, man. I got that bad back going on.
Yeah, tell me about Goof of the Week. This is the segment where we talk... Sorry, I'll tell the audience what Goof of the Week is.
Yeah.
Is the moment where we talk about the production errors. Connor, what's your Goof of the Week?
They land in some splooge, and then they go through the thing, and they're suddenly... They come through a pipe, and suddenly they're dry again. But to be fair, in the episode, they're like, it's a heat pipe.
Yes.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. So I always was like, oh, they dry off so quickly and stuff. But I was like, you know,
it's a heat pipe.
They make the pipe red and the steam. And you don't want them walking around in wet clothes for the rest of the episode.
I agree. I
understand. They did come out too perfect.
That's what I'm saying. Could they at least have a little bit of, like, their clothing could be a little bit...
a little bit of splurgy.
Yeah, that was my only thing. But that's probably one of the biggest goofs in Doctor Who history, because I don't know anyone noticed
that. I don't think it's a... Because like, they do explain it. It's not technically a goof.
They do, but you're right, though. They come out too clean. Yeah. Like, Jenna Coleman's hair's perfectly straightened again, and Peter Capaldi's hair's perfectly dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even rustled up.
Yeah.
It's, like, perfect.
It's messy at the end of the episode. Did you notice that?
I did notice that. I love when he's sitting on the console like that. Yeah, man, I love Pete Starr. It is messy.
Oh, we haven't even spoken about the scene where the Am I Good Man scene, and it's just that awesome two-shot for, like, a minute. Of them.
I did mention that a little bit briefly at the beginning.
Oh, well, I didn't. And it's one of my favourite scenes in Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's really great. It is really great.
My goof of the week...
Too busy talking about Lufro.
Rusty has memories.
He does.
Right? And those memories include... Stolen Earth. He was one of the Daleks in Stolen Earth. He was the Dalek in Dalek, apparently.
Yep.
Like, don't quite make sense, right?
Isn't it just memory banks, though? But...
I don't know, man.
Yeah, he gives a fuck.
Fuck!
I don't think he's a Dalek in Dalek, but...
No, he's obviously not.
He can't be. I think it's just Dalek.
Dies. It self-destructs.
Do you know in like the Batman where he wears those like eye lenses where he records everything? That's like every Dalek with their Dalek stick.
So they've gone through the...
Yeah, they go through everything that the Doctor just happened to be there for.
All right, let's move on to Australia's second favourite segment. It's time to pull back the curtain on the episode and do behind the scenes. So a few bits of little behind the scenes facts and trivia. I did watch the YouTube Behind the Lens for this episode.
I should have.
Phil Ford, by the way, was just chewing up the scenery. He loved it. He was cracking so many jokes and he was just vibing the whole time, just having a laugh. He was like,
we're here with Daleks.
We're here. We got the Daleks. what we're going to do, and there's all these bits in the episode, like proper, like just silly things that they filmed. Like it was, yeah, it was funny. Like they were like, how did we film inside of a Dalek? And then they miniaturize a crew member. And it's just so silly.
I miss Confidential.
Rachel Talalay directed Missy's scene.
Missy came back.
Episode one.
That makes sense. I've heard that quite a few times when they chuck in characters from other like movies, franchises and stuff. The director of those things would direct
them. Well, it was... I think they tried to get Ben Wheatley, the director of this episode, to direct those scenes because there's one in Deep Breath as well, but yeah. He was unavailable when they did them.
Like so the Flash scene, the Suicide Squad was directed by Zack Snyder. Similar kind of thing.
Interesting.
Mm.
Interesting.
When he pops up very briefly in the original Suicide Squad,
I remember Batman rocking up. I don't remember the Flash.
Yeah, he arrests Captain Boomerang. He robbed every bank in Australia.
So Talalay did consult Ben Wheatley about what they were wanting to figure out. So that's cool.
We love Rachel.
Moffat came up with the idea when discussing with some video game developers about a potential video game. He was like, you can go inside of a Dalek. And then everyone was like, that's pretty good. And then he goes,
is it?
Never mind. I'm going to pull that one back in. I'm going to make an episode out of it.
Go, Moff.
So that's cool. So we know the script leaked. We talked about that last week, that the script this episode leaked. Yeah. One thing that I should correct myself on first is that five. You said the first five scripts leaked.
But
you
said it
wasn't only Deep Breath that had the episode. No, you said did all five of the episodes get leaked? Because I said that Deep Breath, the it episode itself breath, got leaked. It? Into the Dalek also got leaked, the rough cut.
Oh, okay.
So
just episode 1-2?
We'll find out. As we go through the Robot of Sherwood. Did Robot of Sherwood get leaked? Who knows?
Tune in next week, fuckers.
A cool little effect that I just, you know, it's obvious how they did it, but I thought they did it really well, was when they're climbing up the Dalek.
Oh, yeah.
And they obviously put it on the floor and they're climbing on the floor. I just thought the green screen was really effective and it looked
good. If you don't know, you don't know.
That's it. I didn't even think about it when I watched it. That's the thing.
I did.
I didn't even think. Like,
as I was making my coffee today, I'm like,
that's how they did it. Well,
Sam Raimi shit from the first Spider-Man.
And the other thing I want to talk about is, I don't know if you saw Crispy Pro. He made a YouTube video like a week ago about the biggest Easter egg in all of Doctor Who.
No, I didn't. No.
And that is, ever since like the Rebel Flesh and the Almost People, I think, was the first appearance, there is this fucking plank / crate. Sometimes it's just a plank. Sometimes it's in the form of a crate.
Yep.
It's got a pattern on it that just appears all through Moffat's time on Doctor Who.
The BBC is just prop department.
It's the prop department. Yeah. But he made a whole video pinpointing every time it's used.
Okay.
And the moment he showed it, I was like, that's the piece of rubble that Clara pulls off herself in Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Because you mentioned that. Because you were always like, oh, she does looks it too like easily. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I noticed it's in this episode as well. Okay. That was just the other.
Excuse me. Thing. Yeah. I watched his recent video on the Centenary. It's good. It's good to see him uploading again. We love you, Crispy.
We love you, Crispy.
Fan of the show.
Do you have anything over on Instagram to talk about?
Yes.
Okay. Just briefly. We don't have anything on Twitter because I didn't post this week about it. But it's time to talk about a segment that's called Just Twitter Tings. We want to change it this week to exclusively Just Insta Tings.
Did you forget to do it?
What's happened on Instagram, Connor?
Fuck you.
This is a segment where we talk about your thoughts.
Alright, do you like Into Dalek? 80% said yes. 20% said no.
Okay.
No. They're like, fuck you, this episode sucks.
No.
Never been into a Dalek before.
Who said that?
My girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Very funny, Kim. I, of course, our review from Jacob. Just finished work. How long do I have? Because I said Into Dalek. Because he actually didn't send anything when I came into the studio today, like an hour and a bit ago. So I said, Into Dalek review, send it. Because he always sends it. He never forgets it. Anyway, where you were, Jacob? Send it to us.
That's a bit fucking weird.
Don't dox yourself. No, I thought it'd be like Tesco's or something. Don't, if it's not Tesco's or like Asda, don't send it.
I don't
it.
Care.
No, I do care. Just don't go this specific place. This episode is good, I think. Can't really remember other than a very small Peter Capaldi bit. But I think Rusty is an interesting character. It's great to have a Dalek with a bit of character, and I'm glad he returns in the Criminally Underrated twice upon a time. Criminally Underrated, Jesus. Question of the week. What's the best James Bond movie for me? It will always be Goldfinger.
What's the best James Bond movie?
I've only seen a few. I'd say Skyfall.
Yeah. I've seen all of them. Controversially, I have a video on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's Aiden Green. Is that the controversial...
It's the one that I turned comments off of.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I turned them back on recently and reread them and was like, God, everyone's just kind
of... Everyone has their opinion, I feel.
Yeah, I ranked every Bond film because I went and watched them all for the... I'd seen Goldfinger last.
I'd seen
quite a few of them before.
Is that what it's called, Goldfinger?
That is one of them. There's also GoldenEye. There's also The Man with the Golden Gun. Yeah, and look, some of mine... look, it's probably not the best list in the world, but... I've seen them all. A few of them I've seen a lot of times. I really like Craig's run.
Yeah, Casino Royale really good. That's literally the only ones I've actually watched all of.
Sorry, Quantum of Solace is dog shit, is what I meant to say. Casino Royale is my favorite.
Royale is my favorite. I actually still enjoy Solace, but I was a young kid, so.
It's all right. No, well, it's a shit movie, but it's all right to watch, you know? And then Spectre is like an okay movie, but it's boring to watch. Skyfall is amazing.
Yeah.
Casino Royale is the best James Bond film in my opinion. And then No Time to Die is good fun. I really like No Time to Die.
Yeah, we ran out a whole gold class for you to watch that.
Oh, flex. You were like, yeah, I bought the whole
gold class. I know the guy who did though. He's a friend of ours. That was great. All like friends and family were on the same thing. It was really great.
That was cool.
Yeah. Always got a shit on that, haven't you?
I do. I'm just jealous that I wasn't there.
Well,
thanks for the invite.
He also Connor. we're going to go in a couple of weeks to go see the new Top Gun Maverick. Which, by the way, I don't want to
give no fucks about
that. I said to him, I was like, bro, I don't even like the Marvel films, but
the Marvel.
Couldn't you just pick maybe like Doctor Strange or something?
Yeah, because I have tickets to the second it opens. I don't know why I gave a fuck enough to do that.
I don't because. I'm driving down to a place called, I've forgotten now, on Wednesday. So I'll be away when it comes out, but then Mitch comes back. So we're going to go see it on the Saturday, I think.
Wednesday, the first sessions, which I think are the same time around the world.
Do you care anymore?
This is the only Marvel thing.
I love Sam Raimi, but I just don't give a fuck anymore. I can't care about it anymore.
I don't care what they do with the story or anything. It's just... I would rather watch this movie. You know, there's all these rumors about old characters coming back.
Mm.
I'd rather watch the movie and be there with a crowd who are loving it. They're the first people there to watch it.
Mm.
And also have no risk of it being spoiled for me. Even though I don't care. I just know I will enjoy the movie.
Yeah, I don't think I care. I mean, I probably will be. Because I won't be able to watch it for a couple of days. And yeah, I don't think I care that much. I mean, like, you know what? It sucks because, like, I really like Raimi and I like Taika Waititi and I love James Gunn. And these are all the people that are going to be releasing movies in the next couple of years. There's the movies I want to go see because I respect them as directors. But I just can't stand this, like, Marvel films anymore, man. I used to love them. But do I like a guy who doesn't respect himself? Do you get it? Because I got a squid on my face, head.
So, the squid... Yeah. Is a smiley squid today to bring it back.
This episode fucking rocks.
Yeah, great. Peter Mallard can stay smiling.
I always say my score first. Can you say your score first?
Fine. Mine is a 7.5. I feel like it could easily be an 8.
I'm giving it 8.5. I fucking loved it. It's so good.
All right, I'm giving it an 8.
It's so good, though.
Now that we've spoken about it, I realize how much I enjoyed it.
It genuinely is just such a fun episode. It's so well directed. It's so well written.
It is.
Acting is great. The guest cast is great. The effects are pretty good. Even like the little Missy cameo is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it. I really think this is a great episode.
It is.
And you know what? I really think I'm going to... You know, so far on the rewatch, season 3 has been my favorite season because I love Martha.
I'm the same.
I love the dynamic.
Yeah.
And the score in that season is so good. Mm-hmm. Dr. Forever. Makes me want to fucking... Jazz is so good. I was just watching season 3 of the lead scenes yesterday in my free time. That unemployment until next week. No, until a week and a half. I'm back at work. I'm not unemployed, but I've been unemployed for 2 weeks when my dad's on holiday. I'm back to work soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I got spare time watching Darks of Manhattan deleted scenes. I'm not joking.
Of all the episodes you're watching,
it popped up my recommended, and I was like, I want to see that.
Yeah, okay.
It was really good. I'm like, why isn't this in the episode?
No, Laszlo.
Nah, Laszlo wasn't in it. But you know, this is what unemployment does to you, man. You sat on your couch, like, I'll watch this deleted scene. Anyway, yeah, really great episode. I loved it.
So you're an 8.5 and an 8 for me.
And I go deep breath for 7, yeah?
Yeah,
yeah, okay, I stand by that. But I really do think this season's going to be great, apart from next episode and In the Throat of the Shite.
Yeah, well, I'm keen to see what I think of next week. I think it's not as bad as I remember it being.
We love Mark, though.
Eight and eight for me, Deep Breath into the Dalek. And I think there's, like, you know, massive pros to all the episodes and a few things that took me out of both the episodes. So I think it's a fair score. I'm starting to look at my scores again and base my score a bit more off of these, because, like, we go back to the series 7 scores, dude, mm-hmm. and I was dishing out, like, so many 7s and 7.5s where, like, if I go back to, like, series 3 and 4,
yeah, you were harsh, man.
There's so many episodes that could easily have got higher than that that I gave, like, lower than that. So I'm trying to balance that shit out a little bit.
Well, you're
a bit
of a fucker, to be honest, Aiden.
I'm a bit of a fucker. Excuse me.
Oh, I said it.
Okay.
You know, you're always like, we can't change the scores. I remember you went back and changed one of your scores.
I changed one.
Yeah, one. And by the way, I'm not asking you to do this because I'm not like you. But now, my biggest regret, probably in my life, is not giving Human Nature Family Applied a 10.
Well,
I gave it a 9.5.
Can I say
this? It's so great.
There was
my favorite
one reason why I changed my score.
Okay.
I changed my score on Revolution of the Daleks.
And
that's because Revolution of the Daleks was the New Year special that came before Flux.
Yeah.
And
it did.
It did.
That's weird. Yeah, it did.
So that would meant that Revolution of the Daleks' score would impact Flux's overall score when we do the overall score.
You count that as well with the...
Yeah, with Flux.
Yeah, because you count the Christmas specials, don't you?
Yeah. So okay, right. I didn't right. want
you're not a
my overhype of that to
you're,
affect
you're just
Flux
you're a bit
much.
Of a fucker. Just I'm a sorry I called you a pig fucker, as
you call me a pig
as
fucker.
Jimmy would say.
You just call me a fuck.
I'm sorry I called no, you call me a Howard fucker. A pig fucker.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
I know.
Sorry I called you a pig fucker.
Howard Stern.
Yeah, Howard Stern.
And on that note,
you're obsessed with Howard Stern. You need to do your research.
It's just the only one that I know that you know. And
Ethan Klein.
Ethan.
Yeah, you hate Ethan, don't you? I remember you said.
I literally don't even.
I remember I made fun of Dan Mace as a joke.
Okay.
And I also made fun of Dan Mace as I was leaving your house the other day as a joke. I was like, go watch Dan Mace. I don't remember. That's like,
did,
oh my God, like
yeah.
Watch Dan Mace. I like Dan Mace, but I remember I made fun of Dan Mace and you said, well, look at the guy you watch. He looks like a fucking idiot. And I was like,
he does.
Hurts. Do you know what he looks like?
Is he like kind of.
You don't know, do you?
Looks like it's falling apart a little bit.
I'm not going to confirm or deny that.
Kind of looks like me right now.
No.
Scruffy facial hair.
Yeah, scruffy facial hair.
Kind of long hair.
He's got curly hair like me, though.
It's like grey, though, isn't it?
It's got a bit grey, yeah. He's a bit old. He's got two kids, man. Do you know what's funny? Like, sorry, before we go, one last thing. I was watching, I randomly clicked on a Flux episode. And Kim points out, so true. If you watch a Flux episode, we look so well presented, like facial hair and hair wise.
Yes.
And I've been growing my hair out since October. Mm. And I think you have been growing your hair out too.
Probably
about
a similar time, to be honest.
Because now, if you look at this now versus Flux,
we look horrible.
We look homeless.
Yeah, literally.
And
like,
if you look at us in Flux,
we were both shaving on the sides.
Yeah, dude, shaved on the sides. Our beards are perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I kind of like the look, though. I like your look. Your hair's pretty long now. Hey, you've been growing out for a while, haven't you?
This shit, man.
When was your last haircut?
I don't remember.
Yeah, neither do I. I've been growing my hair on the sides since October.
Look at this shit.
Yeah, mine goes down pretty fucking far as well. Like down to here.
Yeah, fuck, you're a little bit longer than me, actually.
Yeah, I want to get it off the top a little bit, but I've been enjoying grey on the sides. But if you actually look at us in our Flux reviews, we look so presented.
Dude, I have no idea what I'm doing with my hair.
Neither do I.
I kind of just want something different, is my thing.
I don't know what I'm doing. And I wanted something different, because I've been doing the same hairstyle since like year 12.
Literally same as me. I'm like, I'm grown up now. I don't need to look like a fucking 12-year-old.
Who am I trying to impress?
Literally.
A 12-year club.
Well, that's the
literally,
thing.
Literally,
like, I know. Clubbing and everyone's got their shaved
I know.
Hair on the
side.
I used
to cut my hair because I knew I was going to club on the weekend.
Yeah,
and
there
and, like,
you go.
Girls.
That's it.
And now I don't have to do that. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to become a disgrace.
Well, no, I still want to look good. No, I just want to look,
I wanna look
different
good as well.
Good.
But I don't know what I'm going to do. But
the other thing is me and my dad are both having a competition
who
gets the haircut. We're playing chicken with haircuts.
Okay.
So
I like that. That's
and mum's like getting mad. She's like, you both look like shit.
I know. My parents hate it. They're like, get a haircut.
She doesn't mind mine now. And I agree. I think mine's slowly, like, for a while it was really fucked, but it's slowly
so
starting to make
mine
its
mine. I feel
way.
Like it's gotten better, but when it was grown into it, like, my dad would say to me every day, you used to get it on the sides.
What's happened to you, my son?
What's happened to you? Connor fell off.
Falling apart, bloody Ethan. Guys, thank you so much for watching and listening. I usually say this at the top of the show, but I forgot. At 50 Doctors, where you can find us on Twitter and Instagram, or you can just click that little beautiful little link tree in the description below. You can watch and listen to us over on YouTube as well to see our pretty faces. And
I should probably get off my phone. And
yeah, come on, we're sorry, saying goodbye.
Sorry. That's how you know the show's over. We're still recording.
Yep.
Sorry.
I don't know why I kept saying and. That's the show. Sorry that we went so off topic for about half an hour there. But
I think people really like that.
I do. It's such a trip.
Like,
here we go again.
They don't come. They don't come for the Doctor Who reviews. They stay for us.
I think they come for the Doctor Who reviews. They stay for the conversations. They stay for us.
Yeah.
They stay for the off topic.
To not become too technical here, the whole idea of the 50% podcast is that, you know, you do go off topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the joke when we first started.
The only tricky thing is there's like an element of like, do we end up talking about things that are too niche sometimes that we lose? It's hard to figure out the balance. But hey,
no, I get that.
It's been a while since we've gone off topic like
that.
No,
I agree. I understand. I understand what you're saying. I think you'll never be able to understand an audience, but
yeah,
you know, man, my back hurts, eh?
Don't I need to urinate?
Yes.
Thank you so much. We're going to cross streams as we sing out in song.
It's Aiden and Connor's podcast. We're doing Doctor Who reviews
and crossing streams. Doctor Who reviews. Doctor Who reviews. Don't do that to Peter Malark.
Yeah, Peter Malark.
Peter Malark. Yeah, I hate them. Someone said it's Peter.
Yeah, Capaldi.
Yeah.
Peter Squidcaldi.
Peter,
Got anything? Got any jokes for the last line? Anything for the last line?
Peter Rabbit.
James Corden. What? He voices Peter Rabbit.
No, he... Oh, in the movie.
In the latest one, yeah.
Yeah. Well.
For Shannon.
Peter.
Fucking me.